Good morning.
Good morning.
We welcome you to our worship service this morning. It's good to have everyone here. A couple announcements before we begin our time of worship. You'll notice, and I thank John Williams for stepping in and sort of salvaging the bulletin, because the church's laptop sort of bit the dust, and I'm going to take it into the shop tomorrow and see. But so the backside and some of the interior and all of the prayer lists have not been updated this week. I'll do that verbally. But one announcement that we wanted to make is that we have decided that until the summer, we will not have the fellowship time in the fellowship hall before the service, given the cold weather and just all the other things. We'll just have the fellowship as we normally do in the narthex, and then we'll reconvene in the summer, having that time in the fellowship hall. Also, you know, with freedom comes a lot of responsibilities. When you go to a restaurant where they just serve what the chef wants, you don't have to think. You just receive it. When you go to a cafeteria, you have to pick and choose. And with our communications at the church, it was pointed out to us this past week that we have, if you want to be fully involved and connected with everything going on at the well, you have to talk to 5 different people. And the problem with that is you have to talk to 5 different people. But the beauty is you can pick and choose. Basically, if you want to be on the directory, you talk to Dave Gardner. If you want to get robocalls, you talk to me. If you want to get the lectionary readings, you talk to Jen. If you want to get the newsletter, you talk to Carol Bryant. And if you want to do something else, I forget. But I've put a list on the table in the narthex, and we're working on a list that we're going to pass out that will just have everyone listed. If you are not getting any of those, the newsletter, you're not on the directory, you're not getting the robocalls or the robocall recaps or the lectionary readings, you can sign up on a sheet on the narthex table, and we'll make sure you get involved. Yes, ma'am.
The newsletter, that's Katie and Mona as well?
Yes. Yeah. Katie and Mona do the newsletter.
Yeah. Okay.
And that's all on the sheet on the back. So thank you. We'll continue. And I'll try to do a better job. I'll just be blunt. When I come here, I'm so focused on jumping into worship that sometimes I shortchange announcements and other things like that. And so I appreciate those who remind me that we need to be communicable and effective in that. So any other announcements? Yes, ma'am.
If I didn't connect with you before you came in, your contribution statement is on the table out there in a rubber band, and they're in alphabetical order by last name. All right, so please make sure you pick those up so we don't have to mail them.
Great.
We appreciate that a lot.
So contributions.
If you have family that pretty regularly attends or attended sometime this year, you can check to see if theirs is there. Some of them I mailed and some of them I didn't.
Great. Thank you, B, for all the work you do. And if the contribution statements, if you didn't hear, B, are on the table in the narthex. Please pick that up for your appropriate taxes. Any other announcements? Let's move to prayer requests. Let me give you a few prior to sharing that would have been on this, but like I say, because of technical difficulties or not. We want to keep the family of Paul Olivas, O-L-I-V-A-S, in our prayers. A young man that died, and he's a friend of Larry Shepley, so let's keep his family in our prayers. We also want to keep Barbara Hackett, a friend of Agnes. She has a broken wrist, in our prayers. And also a friend of Katie's, and I know him as well, Bill Hayden. His daughter, Debbie Reed, was diagnosed having endometrial cancer. So let's keep Debbie in our prayers. We also, and I tried to reach out right before service. I had communications with him last evening. We want to keep Webb and Carrie in our prayers. Freedom their child, their pet, is in the process of passing, may have passed. I have not heard since last night. Does anyone have any latest on that? Let's keep the Griffins in our prayers on that. Any other prayer requests?
Cindy.
Well, let's lift up Cindy Williams, John and Trisha's daughter. She was diagnosed some time ago with congestive heart failure, but just declining. And we want to just pray that the Lord will encourage Cindy and encourage John and Trisha as well. I saw a hand somewhere. Yes, sir, David.
Vaughn Driscoll, as always, and I don't have any news on it, but also my brother-in-law, David Brown, he's in the hospital with pneumonia, I think it is. It's not COVID, but pneumonia.
We will definitely keep David in prayer and Vaughn as we do. And yes, sir, Wayne.
My daughter, Cordelia, not the one that has MS, she ended up yesterday with something, and she's not sure what it is, because she went to it, was inconclusive, but she thinks she has COVID.
And what's her first name?
Cordelia, C-O-R-D-E-L-I-A.
Okay.
And she's home with mom and supper.
Let's keep Cordelia. Is she in our prayers? Thank you, Wayne. Yes, ma'am.
Children this week. Appreciate that because it's a rough week for all of us and the loss of their father. And it's going to be a tough week. I just appreciate the prayers you give them.
Let's keep Sherry and her two boys and all the family in prayer in the anniversary week of their father's and husband's passing. Yes, ma'am.
My half-sister passed away Wednesday over at Fairmont, and Sandusky, our family, and her friend, and her wife's family in prayer.
Let's keep Dink's family in prayer, Sue in particular, and I hope you got the robocall about the announcement. If you get the Sunday paper, save it for Sue. I told her we would do that, and we'll keep you in prayer, Sue. Thank you. Any other prayer requests? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. In the beauty of your sanctuary, the place that we have set apart to gather as one to worship you, we worship you, for you are the only one worthy of all of our praise. For you are the only God, omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent, and all compassion. We come to you, for you call us. And in Christ we have this full access where we can come to the God of the universe and address you as Father. Our hearts hurt so often, Lord, for pain that we endure on the path that we walk, but also from pain that we share with those that we love on the points of their path that are difficult. We come this morning lifting these prayer requests up. We do lift up Webb and Carrie. This loss is painful. We thank you for the joy and the memories that freedom has brought to that family. And we pray that you'll draw close and comfort them when their relationship moves from one of presence to one of memory alone. Just be with Webb and Carrie. We pray that you'd be with John and Trisha and Cindy. Be with the entire family. Strengthen Cindy. Encourage her. We, as parents, understand that nothing brings a tear to our eyes quicker than knowing that our children are hurting. So we pray that you'll just strengthen Cindy, strengthen her parents, strengthen the family, bring encouragement. We commit it to you. We pray the same for the Riley family as they are approaching this week where they recognize the anniversary of such a tragedy. Give strength, and where life doesn't make sense, may your compassion draw close. We pray that you would be with Sue's family in the loss of her sister. We just pray that you will strengthen them. We pray that you'd be with the All of Us family as well. We pray that you would be with Barbara Hackett, Debbie Reeves. We pray that you'd be with David and Vaughn and Cordelius. We pray that you will, in each situation, draw close, give strength and comfort. We comfort one another, for we have been comforted in our trials. And we come as one into your presence to worship you, for we understand that the God of all comfort is the only one worthy of our worship. So we gather in your name. We offer these prayers in that precious name, thanking you in advance for your love and compassion. Amen. If you look with me in front of the bulletin, we gather, as always, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Make us to make know your ways, O Lord, and teach us your path. Lead us in your truth and teach us, for you are the God of our salvation, for whom we wait. If we say we have fellowship with God while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not live according to the truth. But if we walk in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Have mercy on us, O God, according to your steadfast love.
According to your
steadfast love. Let it be known to you that through Jesus Christ, the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. He commanded us to preach and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be the judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. Amen. If you'll look with me to the insert, we'll use Psalm 19, verses 7 through 14. By whole verse, calling each to worship, before we stand and sing, Come Thou, Almighty King. The law of the Lord is perfect and revives the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure and gives wisdom to the innocent. The fear of the Lord is clean and endures forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. By them also is your servant enlightened, and in keeping them there is great reward. Above all, keep your servant from presumptuous sins. Let them not get dominion over me. Then shall I be whole and sound and innocent of a great offense. Amen.
first reading, Nehemiah 8, 1 to 3, 5 to 6, 8 to 10. All the people gathered as one man into the square before the water gate. And they told Ezra, the scribe, to bring the book of the law of Moses that the Lord had commanded Israel. So Ezra, the priest, brought the law before the assembly, both men and women, and all who could understand what they heard on the first day of the seventh month. And he read from it facing the square before the water gate from early morning until midday, in the presence of the men and the women and those who could understand. And the ears of all the people were attentive to the book of the law. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people, as he opened it, and all the people stood. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, Amen, Amen, lifting up their hands. And they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. They read from the book, from the law of God clearly, and they gave the sense so that the people understood the reading. And Nehemiah, who was the governor, and Ezra the priest and scribe, and the Levites who taught the people, said to all the people, This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep. For all the people wept as they heard the words of the law. Then he said to them, Go your way, eat the fat, and drink sweet wine, and send portions to anyone who has nothing ready, for this day is holy to our Lord. And do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. This ends the first reading.
Thank you.
graciously look down on our weakness. Reach out to us with your majestic right hand and satisfy us with his glory. We ask this through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who taught all your children to pray and that boldly. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The second reading is 1 Corinthians 12:12-31a. Just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one Spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less of a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again, the hand to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And on those parts of the body, we think less honor we bestow the greater honor, and our unprecedented parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helping, administrating, and various kinds of tongues. All are apostles. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the higher gifts. This ends the second reading.
Thank you. you, and you alone, deserve all glory and praise, now and forever. Amen.
Gospel reading is Luke chapter 4, verses 16 through 30. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as was his custom, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and he stood up to read. And the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And he rolled up the scroll and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." And all spoke well of him and marveled at the gracious words that were coming from his mouth. And they said, "Is not this Joseph's son?" And he said to them, "Doubtless you will quote to me this proverb, 'Physician, heal yourself.' What we have heard you did at Capernaum, do here in your hometown as well." And he said, "Truly I say to you, no prophet is acceptable in his hometown. But in truth, I tell you, there were many widows in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the heavens were shut up 3 years and 6 months, and a great famine came over all the land. And Elijah was sent to none of them, but only to Sarepta in the land of Sidonius, to a woman who was a widow. And there were many lepers in Israel in the time of Elisha, and none of them was cleansed, but Naaman the Syrian." When they heard these things, all in the synagogue were filled with wrath, and they rose up and drove him out of the town, and brought him to the brow of the hill on which their town was built, so that they could throw him down the cliff. But passing through their midst, he went away. Thus saith the Lord.
Praise be unto thee, O Christ.
Amen. You may be seated. If you'll allow me to do a little business before the sermon, "Be Thou My Vision" is one of the songs that I want at my funeral. Sarah, are you willing to do it? Well, I do hope you get out of practice before you need to do it again. But that was absolutely beautiful. It helped my worship, and I thank you for your gift to us. Let us pray together. Our gracious Lord, we would see Jesus. Be Thou our vision. In life, and in particular, in this few moments. May your Spirit make our hearts and minds attuned to you. May my words point only to the only one eternally worthy of our gaze. We would see Jesus and him alone. Amen. 1958 found the big company Procter Gamble in trouble. Procter Gamble had made a lot of products, and one of the larger products they had up until that time were hair products, shampoos and all the other stuff that people use. But in 1958, they found that there was a new craze moving across America that sort of cut into their business. It was before my time, but some of you may have had one. The new craze that was cutting into Procter & Gamble's business was the crew cut. And when you had a crew cut, I guess you didn't need to use as much of their product. And their earnings were declining. And the story goes that at one meeting, they were trying to ponder how they could increase sales, and one, I think, quite brilliant individual said, "I've got an idea. One word may enable us to, if not double our earnings, at least increase them." And that was the simple word, repeat. And ever since then, your bottle of shampoo that said, lather, rinse, and repeat, with the hope that you'll follow instructions and use twice their products. I don't know if that's true when it comes to shampoo, but let me tell you, when it comes to the things of the faith, I love the word repeat. I strive with everything in me. My one intention is that the theology I believe and the theology I teach and confess is a repetition of that that the church has always believed. To steal a phrase, I want to be a ditto head of the early church. I take comfort in knowing that in our worship service, if any of the early church fathers or mothers would come in, a lot of things would shock them, like lights and comfortable pews. But the flow of our service, they would be quite comfortable with. For we want to repeat. Someone said to me once, who was new to the lectionary readings, and said, that lectionary committee, when they assembled the readings, they really did a good job. They must have had to work really hard to find Old Testament scriptures that seemed to fit so nicely the New Testament. Well, the truth of the matter is not to dismiss the lectionary committee's work at all, but it was quite easy. It wasn't happenstance, because the Old Testament was that which preceded, and the New Testament believers understood, as Jesus says in the gospel today, that it was about fulfillment. It was about repetition. Expansion, but repetition. See, Jesus came not so much as a fulfillment of a prediction. It's not just a prediction that came true, but rather it was a seed that was planted way back before the foundations of the world, beginning in the Garden of Eden, when we have that proto-evangelium, the first gospel, and that seed that was planted continued to grow and develop in full flower. And our text that I'm going to look at in Nehemiah 8 has a worship service that the New Testament sought to repeat. And I hope, I pray, my goal is that you will see our worship service, our coming together in this divine service of praising God, is just a repetition. And if it's not, I beg you to talk with me. For my goal is it to be simply nothing new, but a repetition of what has been done. Let's give a background to Nehemiah 8. The children of Israel, they've been in exile for more than 70 years. They've been in a foreign land. The temple had been destroyed. They were taken into captivity. And now, though the kings, it was about 537, the kings of the Medes and Persia have conquered Babylon. And Cyrus, the king of Persia, said to these Jews, you have the freedom, if you'd like, to return. You no longer have to be in exile. You can go home. You can go back to Jerusalem. Now, many of them stayed because they had put in roots and they were comfortable. So even though they were given their freedom, they stayed in a foreign land. We see that in the book of Esther. Many stayed and had to deal with the conflict of remaining in a foreign land. Some returned. They didn't all go at once. They returned in waves. There were three major waves of Hebrews going back to Jerusalem. They first built the wall, and that's what Nehemiah we focus on most, is they built the wall and found that fortress again. But then they rebuilt the temple. And Ezra is the one who rebuilt the temple. And what we see is when that temple was rebuilt, when the worship of God was restored, they're starting to see what Isaiah predicted in our passage of Isaiah 61, and what finds full embodiment in Jesus Christ as he claimed it as his own. And this worship was not static, it was dynamic. It had a movement. Now, I'm not much of a dancer. I'm pretty clumsy, actually. I'm... I don't have a whole lot of grace. I hope this isn't an advertisement, but it's to wet your whistle. I hope that we may be looking at having classes where we might learn to be more graceful and to learn to dance. But I'm not very graceful. I'm more cloddish, and marching comes easier to me than dancing. But worship is far more like a dance. And the dance that I want us to repeat that we see in Nehemiah, I want us to look together. Look in the passage with me. We see three stanzas of this dance or this movement of worship. And in verses 1 and 2 of Nehemiah 8, we see that God gathers his people. We are the gathered community. My father had a very distinctive whistle. I wish I could replicate it. I can't. But he had this particular whistle that he would whistle. And when he whistled, his children, we knew we needed to get in gear and respond quickly to that whistle. It defined who we were. That whistle wasn't for everyone. Others heard it, but they didn't know what it was. They just thought some big guy was whistling. But when we heard that whistle, we knew it was for us. We found identity in the whistle. We found comfort in it. I can tell you many a time in a crowd, which I didn't then and don't now like crowds, where I would feel discombobulated, I would feel lost. I wouldn't like being in a large crowd. To hear that whistle was reassuring. Brothers and sisters, God whistles for us. In Isaiah and Zechariah, we read that God whistles. He says, I will whistle for them to gather together. I'll whistle and they'll come from the ends of the earth. I'll whistle, God says, and they'll come from the most remote places. God has a whistle. His whistle is embodied in Jesus Christ. He whistles to us. He calls us. He gathers us. And we hear the voice of Jesus, and his voice tells us in John 10, my sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. He whistles, and we come. Now, we tend to neglect this gathering. From the beginning of the history of the church, people have wanted to go out on their own. That's why in Hebrews 10, we read that we're not to neglect the assembling of ourselves together. And much to my chagrin, it's this tendency not to want to gather sort of gained a lot of steam in the pandemic. It gave us a good reason, and for a while it was a truly good reason for our health. But we want to make sure that we don't let a reason become an excuse, because we are to gather together. We heard often over the last 2 or 3 years, well, the church isn't a building, it's a people. Well, that's true. Thankfully for our congregation, we're grateful that a church isn't a building, because we've been in quite a few over the last 2 or 3 years. We understand that that statement is true, that the church is not a building, it's a people. That's true in the sense of the church is not a bricks and mortar building. But let me tell you, brothers and sisters, it's not true if we interpret it to mean that the church is just us individually wherever we are. The church is a people, but it's a gathered people. It's a people that have come together. It's a gathering. The word church even says this. The Greek word for church is ekklesia. You may know that. We get ecclesiology. We get ecclesial. Ekklesia is a word for church. It's only used 2 times, both in Matthew. In Matthew 16, where Peter confesses Christ as being the Son of God. And Jesus said, on that confession, on this rock, I'll build my church. Ekklesia. In Matthew 18, it's used again by Jesus to talk about he would promise his presence there. And ekklesia is a compound Greek word that has ek, which we get the word exit from, out of, and kaleo, which means to call. You ever heard of the Parakaleo or the Paraclete, the Holy Spirit, the one called alongside? Ekklesia means those who are called out of. The church, by definition, is a gathering. We come together, as we read in Nehemiah, as one man. Do you see that in verse 1? What a beautiful saying in verse 1 of Nehemiah. They came together as one man, as one person. As Dave read to us in 1 Corinthians 12, you represent different parts, but we come together as one. We gather as one. We gather and we are more than the sum of our parts. It's not just a bunch of collected people. When we come together, when we gather together, there's unique promise. When you use the word gather, you might think it means assemble, but we use that in an agricultural way as well, don't we? When we talk about gathering, we think of harvest, right? We can gather. And so when we gather together, assemble together, we also have that understanding of harvest. We're going to get some benefit. When we come together, we reap a harvest. And the harvest we reap is a promise that Jesus gives us in Matthew 18. When he talks about the church, where he says, where two or more are what? Gathered together in my name. And then this promise, this is what we read. I am there among them. We gather together. This is that first movement. And we come together, and I would suggest to you, our gathering together is the most radical thing we can do. We come together as one. And because we come together as one, we continue on this journey. And I pictured it. If I had a high-tech, and I'm not real high-tech, I love charts. I sort of pictured it for me. We come together and we hit these two peaks. And we hit these two peaks. And the first peak, and I steal this from a pastor of the 19th century, Wilhelm Ley, a great German pastor. Even though he never left his little town in Bavaria, he sent just missionary after missionary into the USA, into North America, where his heart was. But Ley said that when we enter into this movement of worship, there are two peaks we hit as we come in together, as we gather together. The first peak we hit is the proclamation of the gospel, the sermon. But the second peak we hit is the table, where we receive. In one we hear, in the other we receive the very word of God, following that promise that Christ gave, that when you are gathered together, I will be there. Really there. And the second movement, in order for us to hear him, is that God opens our ears to hear. We come together, we gather, and God opens our ears to hear. We see that in verses 3 through 8 of Nehemiah. That when the word is preached, our ears hear. See, have you ever sat in church, hopefully where the word is being preached, and you hear a hymn, you read a scripture, you hear something in a sermon. Do you know that experience where you go, ah, I never thought about it that way. Oh, I get it. You ever had that thought? I get it. Well, let me tell you, brothers and sisters, I hate to pop your bubble. You didn't get anything. We don't get it. He reveals it. Follow me on this? It's not like, oh, I've figured it out now. Kudos to me. I'm wiser than you because I got it. No, we didn't get it. We come together and we confess that anything we have isn't because I got it. It's because he revealed it to us. He opened our hard hearts. He took the scales away from our eyes, and we can hear this precious word. As we said in Psalm 19:1, and call to worship, the word of the Lord is perfect. It revives the soul, as John Wesley said. It makes that hard, cold heart. It strangely warms it over. And we have understanding. See, if we hear, it's not because we got it. It's because He revealed it. But He promised to. And that leads us to the final movement. We not only gather together, we not only are able to hear, but then finally, we respond. We respond. In verses 9 and 10, we see that when people heard, and He preached for 6 hours, if you see this in this passage. Ezra preached for 6 hours. You guys are lucky. But they responded in tears. You're probably thinking, if I heard somebody preach for 6 hours, I'd be in tears too. But they respond. They heard the word. And that precious word brought tears to their eyes. They're visibly moved, we see in verse 9. And they respond. They respond by being able to recognize the holiness of life, the goodness of life, the joy that's here. And we see that that joy is their strength. It's interesting that nothing in their life got fixed while they were sitting in this 6-hour worship service. Nothing out there got fixed. Nothing got taken care of. The problem still existed. But they were able to understand they could respond with joy because their joy wasn't in the fixing of their problems. Their joy was in the Lord. And they were able to hear that. Peter Kreft, a scholar up at Boston College, just has a wonderful way of looking at things. And he said that when we come together, the word we hear is our sheet music. Now, those of you who are musical can understand this more than I, because I don't read music. But Kraft says that the word we hear, that which we repeat, is our sheet music. And not only gives us direction, but in the following of that sheet music, it gives us great joy. It gives us joy. And what he says is, that's exactly the word we hear. We don't come here in an academic exercise to fill up big notebooks of knowledge. We don't come here as if we're hearing a legal document read and we're just checking all the boxes to make sure everything aligns. We come here to hear this beautiful sheet music of God's Spirit. It gives us direction and gives us joy, and we respond with that. And we hopefully will do what I say every Sunday. See, there's a reason why we do what we do, is we approach and we enter with invocation and confession, and we hear the Word of God absolving us, and then we move to the sermon, then we confess our faith together, and then we move to the highest peak of receiving Him at His table, and then we leave, and you hear a benediction. But that's not the last thing I say. The last thing I say after the benediction, do you remember? I say, this service is over. Go in peace to love and serve our Lord. We go forth as His witness, His salt and light. We gather together as one. To hear and to respond. We repeat it week after week, and nothing is more powerful. One of my favorite songs, talking about funerals, or stories, is a story, you may have heard it, about an African-American lady that lived in the 19th century in the Deep South. And this lady was blind, deaf, and mute. She couldn't see. She couldn't hear. And she couldn't speak. But she was a devout Christian. And she went to church every time they met. When the doors were open, she gathered in the presence of the Word, even though she couldn't physically see, she couldn't physically hear, and she couldn't physically speak. When she died, I went to the pearly gates. They have this bad theology, but a great illustration. She's standing at the pearly gates. And a neighbor of hers happened to die at about the same time, and they're waiting for St. Peter. And the neighbor says to her, "Got a question I've always wanted to ask you, but didn't have the ability. For all your 86 years, you went to service every time it was open, even though you couldn't get anything out of it. Even though it didn't really do anything for you visibly, because you can't see and you can't hear and you can't speak. I'm just curious, why'd you bother to go?" She simply said, "I went to show everyone whose side I'm on." Brothers and sisters, we gather together, for this is the side of the Lord. We gather together to hear His Word. We gather together by His Spirit to be moved so that we can respond personally as we are comforted and strengthened, and then respond as salt and light as we go forth to love and serve our Lord. Amen? Amen. Let us stand and confess our faith together. Together, brothers and sisters, let us confess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. He rose again. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Join me in the Eucharistic prayer. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is with joy that we give you thanks and praise, summoning Lord, for you called creation into being. You invited a people to be your own. And in your prophets, you called your children time after time to return to your ways and live. In Jesus, you embodied your call to the whole world to worship you, to be your friends, and to eat at this table with you. Through the Spirit, you continue to beckon us to become members of your body and channels of your grace. Even when our sin put your Son on the cross, your mercy turned death into resurrection and shame into glory. And so we enjoy you now and forever with saints and angels and archangels and all the company of heaven, singing the hymn of your unending praise.
Holy, 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 holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Restoring God, at your Son's birth, you called together heaven and earth, rich and poor, human and animals. Among your Son's disciples, you called together fishermen, tax collectors, and zealots. In his ministry, you summoned soldiers and widows, criminals and Samaritans. At this table now, you draw together the food of daily endeavor and the cup of celebration. Send your Holy Spirit among us to make us your diverse but holy people. By the power of your Spirit,
make these gifts of bread and wine be for us the very body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ, who at supper with his disciples took bread, gave you thanks, broke the bread, gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, and again he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink this, all of you. This is the blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." For great is the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen.
Christ will come again.
Calling God, you find us where we are and summon us to follow you. As you sent your disciples to fish in the waters of the world, renew your people in their vocations and ministries. Sanctify your children to share your good news and discover your kingdom near and far. Mend the nets of those who labor long and in vain, that all who look to you in faith may find from you fitting work to do. Until that day when you gather your whole creation into one net of grace and shower your universe with the wonder of your glory. Ever one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen. The gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Brothers and sisters, this is the very body of Christ. This is the fulfillment of his promise, where he said, "Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them." In gratitude for his promise fulfilled to us in Christ Jesus, I invite all those who love our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to come to receive the very body and blood of Jesus Christ. As we have spread the table, let us keep the feast.
In the blood of
Our gracious Lord, we thank you for calling us together as one, for sending your eternal word and giving us through your Spirit ears to hear, and for sending us forth as your children, finding our identity only in Christ, letting his light shine in us and through us, that all others may see and glorify our Father, which is in heaven. We thank you. We love you. We look to you alone and pray in your holy name. Amen. Let us stand and sing our final hymn as a declaration of our intention in him. Together. For you are called. When I say go in peace, love, and serve our Lord, you are to say, Amen. So now let's hear the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. Amen. The service is over. Go in peace to love and serve our Lord.
Amen.